We're going to turn to today's reading, to Mark chapter 2. It's on page 1004 in the Pew Bibles. Page 1004, Mark chapter 2, and it's verse 23 to 28 that we're going to be reading. It is the Lord of the Sabbath, or Jesus teaching about the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through to verse 28, the end of that chapter, page 1004 in the Pew Bibles. And this is what Mark writes. He says, "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?' And he answered, 'Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath."'" We end our reading there, and we thank God for that word. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this word that you have given to us, and we pray that we will draw encouragement from it, draw wisdom from it, and that you will speak to us, Lord, so that we will know how we should be living as followers of Jesus, so we can do this faithfully, knowing that there's a faithful God who comes alongside us in all of this. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Earlier this week, I told Norman what I was planning to preach on today. And he said to me, it's exactly the same thing that he preached on last Sunday in his pre-recorded service that he did online when we had the children's service. There was an online service that Norman had pre-recorded. Same passage, same focus of the sermon. So slightly adjusted it, changed the passage to pretend that I'm doing something different, but really, essentially, it's the same message. So if you haven't heard that sermon that Norman preached last week, do give it a listen. If you have heard it, then some things you might hear today might be familiar, but that might be because God really wants you to hear it. So he's telling you twice. But there is a slight difference. What you'll actually notice if you go back even to the previous sermon that Norman preached about sitting at the feet of Jesus, he spoke about Mary and Martha, and there's a common thread running through here, this idea of taking the time just to rest, taking the time out from the busyness and the distractions and just being with God. I've called today's message Rediscovering Sabbath for two reasons. Firstly, because we live in a fast-paced world, that even though it was put on hold during the COVID pandemic, we've really jumped back into being busy with both feet, with real enthusiasm. And we're only about a year, really, to being back to normal. It was only after Easter, or it might have even been the Easter service last year, that we actually took our face masks off, and I could suddenly see what you all looked like, because when I joined, you were all in masks. I had no idea what you looked like. So Easter was a real awakening for me. sometimes in a good way, not always. but it's really only been a year that things have got back to normal. And I do use that word normal very hesitantly, because normal is really not normal at all, is it? And it's a very, very busy normal. And secondly, I've also called it Rediscovering Sabbath, because a lot of how we understand Sabbath, about how it's been taught to us or passed down onto us, doesn't necessarily reflect the biblical understanding of what Sabbath is. In the reading from Mark, we can see how those religious leaders, the Pharisees, have forgotten what Sabbath was supposed to be about, is supposed to be about, how they interpret rest as merely just an absence from activity or an absence from certain activities. But Jesus' words serve as a spark to remind us or to teach us of the true purpose of Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. It reinforces what God says in Ezekiel 20, verse 12, "I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between us." It is a gift from God. It is something that God has given to us. with the purpose of pointing to the relationship that exists between us and God. Which is why we see in the opening chapters of Genesis that at the end of 6 days, creation, God looks at all creation and he declares it as very good. But when he gets to the seventh day, it's not very good. The seventh day is holy. It is holy. And I would like us to think this morning about why the Sabbath is holy and what it can mean for us over the coming months, over these summer months of July and August. Because while we talk about the Sabbath as a specific day of the week, Sabbath is also a concept of rest that specifically points to God's idea of rest for his people. That is different from the way that the world understands rest. And like Norman preached online last week, summer is a season in the life of the church where things do tend to slow down. For people involved in various ministries in the church, it is a good time to consider this as a season of Sabbath, as a time of just stepping back from the busyness of things, a time out from that, and find some rest. Now, I realize that doesn't apply to everyone, especially if you're involved in youth and children's work. There's a lot going on over the summer for folk involved in that ministry. But that doesn't mean that if you are, that the concept of Sabbath is not important to you. It simply means that you need to look at a different time of the year to consider these things and prioritize Sabbath. There are a couple of things that I want to highlight about Sabbath this morning as we move into the summer months. As you may be aware, 6 weeks ago I started getting terrible back pains and ended up spending pretty much the next 3 weeks either lying flat on my back on the living room floor or walking around the circumference of our kitchen just to make sure that there was still movement. Because of the pain, because of the physical limitations, there was very little I could do. In fact, there was probably next to nothing that I could do. Sabbath is not about doing nothing. Sabbath is not saying I'm going to stop and not do anything now. And perhaps that is a teaching that we need to let go of. That we're not allowed to do anything on Sabbath except read our Bibles, pray, and sing hymns. Doing those things certainly can be a part of Sabbath. And we know that Jesus regularly went to the synagogue on Sabbath, so gathering together with God's people is an important part of it. But it's not the only thing that Sabbath was created for. Sabbath is not about what you must do and what you mustn't do. It isn't about something that becomes regimental and legalistic. That's what the Pharisees in Mark's reading had allowed it to become. You're only allowed to do this and you're not allowed to do that. And if you're doing the things you're not allowed to do, then you're breaking Sabbath and may God forgive you. It's not about doing nothing. It's about doing something. It's about being intentional in those somethings that you do. You do them on purpose and you do them for a purpose. And that purpose is to spend time with God in a different way to the way we spend with him in our busyness. When we first encounter the idea of Sabbath in Genesis 2, we're told that by the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. That idea of resting from work, it's reinforced again in Exodus 21, when God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And we have this picture when we read that of God working really hard for 7 days, creating everything. And then at the end of this busy week, he takes a rest for a day, because he has worked so hard and he's earned his rest. At least that's the picture that we can create in our minds when we create God in our image. But there are two problems, or at least two problems, with that picture. The first one is that the impression that we can get from that picture is that God needs to rest because God's tired. God's worked really hard creating. It's a hard thing. Man, getting those giraffe necks so long must take it out of him. And God now needs his rest. But that's not what's going on here. God isn't tired. God hasn't worked hard and now is exhausted and he needs to rest. God rests because he has completed creation. He has completed this beautiful, perfect, very good world filled with living creatures, including humankind, including people that have been created in his image. And now he wants to spend time with them. That's what makes the seventh day holy, because all of creation is in it and God is in it, fully present and engaging with his creation. What should make periods of Sabbath different for us from other rest days, and we do need rest days, unlike God, we do get tired when we work hard, and so we need our rest days. But what makes Sabbath different from those rest days is that God should be present in them, and we should be engaging with him in those times. And that means setting time aside from other things and intentionally acknowledging that God is with us. But unfortunately, that intentionality to set time aside with God has led to an unhelpful and unintentional consequence of saying that on the Sabbath we must only do God stuff. And so we've fallen into the trap and made the same mistake that the Pharisees did by creating this secular and sacred divide. This idea that there is God stuff and there is not God stuff. And things where we acknowledge that God is, and things where we say there's no ways that God could be in those things. So we can't do those things. We can only do these things on Sabbath. So God is with me when I come to church and I'm with other Christians on a Sunday, but he could never be with me if I go to the cinema with my friends on a Sunday. But then a lot of people do come to church on a Sunday out of habit or expectation, with no intentionality or even expectation to meet with God or for God to be a part of it. They just come out of habit or because it's what they've always done. But here's a thought. What if God really is everywhere? What if God really is with us wherever we go and won't ever leave us or forsake us? And so if we're being intentional about being refreshed and re-energized, then that means that, yes, while the things that we do are important, isn't it more important that we're intentional about making God a part of it, acknowledging that God is with us in these things and that we can draw close to God through them, and that God wants to be a part of it? Sabbath is more about spending time with God than about the activities that we say that we should or shouldn't be doing on Sabbath. I said there were two things wrong with that picture of God taking one day off from his hard work. The other problem is this. The seventh day is different from the other 6 days in the story of creation. The other 6 days all have a beginning and an end. There's that repetitive phrase. There was evening and there was morning the first day. Evening, morning, the second day, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth. But the seventh day, it doesn't have that. The seventh day doesn't have an ending. And that's because God didn't intend it to end. That was the purpose. That was his intention, to spend time in creation with his creation. Yes, we were created to work, but it was work that would be done in partnership with God. It wouldn't be something that was going to be tiring and exhausting, that we need a day off so that we can rest and then day eight get back into the grind of working again. Work only became a hardship. It only became a struggle after sin entered into the world, after it became part of the curse of sin. But God's original vision was for creation was that we and he would be in it together, working together and resting together. And we see, when we go to Revelation 21, we see how that vision, that intention, is going to be restored when God brings into being a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21 verse 3, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be with their, and he and be their God. But because of the fall, work is no longer something we do with God. Now it is a struggle. Now it is a toil that we need rest from. And we see then later, when God makes his covenant with Israel, he commands them, we read it there from Exodus, he commands them to set aside a Sabbath, to be reminded of what a right relationship with God looks like, to be reminded of what God's intention for us has always been. To work, but also to rest with God, to take time out to acknowledge and enjoy. I think maybe that's something that we've lost as well. Enjoy being with God and resting with Him. And that leads into something else that is helpful to understand about Sabbath. When we read the Ten Commandments in Exodus, we read that the Sabbath should be observed because God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. That's what it says in Exodus. But when the Ten Commandments are recorded in Deuteronomy, we discover something different. It says something different. Deuteronomy 2 says this. It says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God." That's all familiar and similar, but remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Did you notice the difference? Here we're told that the Sabbath also has something to do about freedom, something to do about liberty. The liberty and the freedom that we find in our relationship with Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. Sabbath is a reminder that in Christ we are people who have been set free. For 6 days we work. Genesis 1 and 2 teaches us that God created us as people of work and rest. We were created in His image. He is a God of work and He is a God of rest. So we work. But Genesis 3 reveals us that work has now taken on a different meaning and has a different impact because of sin. Now work is hard. Now work is a struggle. When we Sabbath, not just stop working and rest, but rest in God, what we are reminded of is that a relationship with God sets us free from that curse of sin. We don't have to work hard. It isn't a struggle. Today I'm set free. Today work is not hard for me. Today I'm not going to struggle and sweat and wish I could take a day off. Today I'm going to know that God has set me free from these things, and there is a promise of a kingdom to come where we will be set free from those things. There is freedom. There is liberty in Sabbath. And that's why it's important for us to use this time over summer when there's a little bit less expectation, a little bit less demanding of our time from church, from school, from university, from whatever it is, to intentionally set time aside and to spend it with God, to allow God to restore us, to refresh us and to reinvigorate us. And there are so many ways that we can do that. And maybe they're quite individual to who we are as people. It could be spending time reading your Bible or a good Christian book, or it could be time reading another book, dare I say a secular book, and yet still finding God in that, or being reminded how loving God is through that. Believe it or not, I've had those experiences reading Stephen King, just being reminded that God is there. And yes, there is evil in the world, but there is good. And God is in that good. Let's not fall into the trap of thinking that God can only be experienced in the things that we have defined as sacred. Spend some time listening to music where the words or even the melody stirs something in us. Whether it's a Christian song or not, that just draws closer into understanding of who we are and how much we need God. Watch a movie, listen to a podcast, go for walks, go for a cycle. Or a day at the beach. Have fun. I think that's really important, that we recognize that it's okay to have fun with God. I help out some with Coaching for Christ, and one of the things that we do during the training sessions is we specifically take time aside to speak with the boys and the girls about Jesus. And I remember saying to them in one of the talks that I gave with them, I said, you know, there's a promise of a new heaven and a new earth. We create this picture that we're going to spend forever in heaven. We're not. We're going to spend forever on a new earth that God's going to create, and all the bad things will be gone. All the things that weigh us down, all the things that bring us down, death and disease and sin and the way people hurt us, none of that will be on this new earth. It'll only be the good stuff. So I said to them, I know then that there's going to be football. So I'm looking forward to that because football's a good thing. It's okay to have fun. It really is. It's okay to do the fun things and enjoy it because God wants us to be happy. He wants us to enjoy this life. That is the world that He created, and that is the world that will be recreated when He makes all things new. If Sabbath is about reminding us of God's intention for creation, then there must be parts of it that make us smile and laugh. and parts that fill us with wonder and full of praise and at the awesomeness of God. There are so many ways that we can rest in God, that we can Sabbath with Him if we are intentional about it. It's no coincidence that the Hebrew word for spirit, ruach, is the same word for breath. So much of what we get involved in our church ministry is about breathing out God, about sharing God, about telling others about God, about showing people about God. But there is a rhythm to breathing. We cannot only breathe out. If we only breathe out, we will die. We have to breathe in too. A rhythm of breathing out and breathing in. Sabbath is about taking the time to breathe in. To say to God, I've breathed out, now I want to breathe in. Breathe you in so that I can go back and breathe you out once again. A rhythm of breathing, a rhythm of resting, of Sabbath, to be refilled with His breath, with His spirit. And maybe for you, this summer is the time for you to take the time and just breathe in. Let us pray. Loving God, forgive us for the times that we've become legalistic about what Sabbath should be and prevented ourselves and others from experiencing the fullness of resting in God and what that can mean. To take the time to be with you, but also take the time to acknowledge you in all things. And just to breathe you in. Loving God, we breathe you in today. Fill us with your spirit. If this season of summer is not an opportunity, not a time for us to rest, because for some it is a busy time, Lord, I pray that we will take the time, then prioritize a different time of the year. To take a week out, to take a long weekend, to find the time just to stop. And to say, I'm now going to breathe God in. And it's going to be good. And it's going to make me smile. And I'm going to be happy. Because God is with me. He is my strength, my comfort, and my peace. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.